Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 24 April 2020. Well, I'm going to start with stock market, but for this week, the real news in the stock market were that the gold miners are breaking out to the upside and are starting to do better than gold and the stock market. The GLD is nearing a new high or seven-year high as I am doing this video. And the GDX, the Van Vectors Gold Miner Index, the ETF, has gapped up twice and is hitting a seven-year high. In fact, it's doing quite well, as I just said. And the gold miners are outpacing gold. If you take the relative strength index of the GDX divided by the price of gold GLD, it'll show that the ratio is now trading at the highest level in 3 years, which means that the gold miners are now rising faster than the commodity. And of course, that's using two ETFs, but you get the general idea. So there's a lot of back and forth. Does gold outperform the stocks? The gold stocks outperform gold? And you can make an argument for both because there have been historical times when one has done better than the other. And it really depends a lot on the starting point. You can cherry pick and pretty much show whatever you want. The gold miners are outperforming the S&P 500 and the relative strength ratio of the GDX divided by the S&P 500 also shows that same fact. So I am quite pleased with this. I did do an update for our paid subscribers yesterday on this and where I think we're going on an intermediate term. On a long term, we're going far, far higher. And we were in the miners, basically just gold and silver in a top tier, as you're looking at the screen. And we actually outperformed the S&P last year. We had about a 63% return, whereas the S&P, I think, was around 25 or so. So I know we were better than double what the S&P did last year. And in fact, last year, the miners were actually one of the best performing sectors in the S&P, although you really don't hear that from hardly anyone, especially in the mainstream financial press. Well, this week I started off more with the gold situation, and I may end on silver, I'm not sure. But right now, CNBC, Europe could opt for helicopter money as the coronavirus destroys economic growth, experts predict. And, you know, this is not, I won't even call it old news, but this is not really anything earth-shaking. I'm just trying to point out that we continue on the news feeds being primarily about the economic conditions due to the coronavirus. Very little said about the overprinting of fiat throughout the world, the leverage in the system, the untruthfulness of the way the whole system is set up, and the disparity between the 1% or the 0.1% and everyone else. Looking at some hard facts, this is from Reuters. Hyundai sees limited China recovery. Dismal virus hit sales elsewhere this year. Seoul, Korea, Hyundai Motors said Thursday, which was yesterday, expects a modest recovery in demand. And elsewhere this year, after the coronavirus pandemic caused first quarter vehicle sales to tumble by 18%. So that is a major industry. Hyundai's rather large, and what I'm trying to convey here is later down in this article, net profit slid 44% to 463 billion won below the average estimate of 607, hit by the slump in China sales last year. So what I want to comment on is that a lot of the mainstream so far has stated or indicated that the GDP on a global basis is going to be what I consider to be rather modest by the numbers that they're throwing out. And I contend that not only have we had a huge contraction in the economy before this, which I'm on the record as having said time and time again on these weekly perspectives, but once this hit, then of course it accelerated substantially to the downside. And I believe that the happy face, smiley face numbers that the mainstream financial pundits are putting on the situation are extremely optimistic to the reality. So trying to find articles like this from the mainstream and kind of put it in their own face and say, wait a minute, wake up. I'm afraid that we are on a slide down that probably has not been witnessed before, save the Great Depression. And this one could be even worse, depending on how it's measured. And this is on CNBC. It's been years since I was on there. I'm not sure I'll ever be invited back. But regardless of me, this one really makes me kind of laugh. This is four reasons retail in the U.S. won't be bouncing back like in China, which, of course, presumes or states, basically, that retail is just bouncing back in China. Do we know that for a fact? I haven't been there in a long time. I'm not going to take their word for it, but it makes me smile. America's retail industry is looking to China, where the coronavirus originated, for clues about how shoppers will rebound from the pandemic. That's what we got to worry about, folks, is what are the shoppers going to do? Anyway, sorry, I can't help it. In China already, the consumer is back with a vengeance. CoreSite Research Chief Executive Founder Deborah Winsing said, yes, there's so much pent-up demand. I don't think I can go on with this article. I have to be facetious. I don't think that this is realistic whatsoever at all. I really do think that the contraction continues. Have they bounced back some? Probably. Significantly, look, there's nothing coming back 100% the way it was, in my view. I mean, a few things may come back almost exactly the way they were before this, but they will be in the very large, or very small, I should say, minority. Most businesses across the board, no matter where they are geographically, no matter what currency they use, no matter what their workforce is, no matter what their labor lines are or their jurisdictions, are going to be contracting, downsizing, producing less, and a contraction, I think, is the best word. And again, I often refer to Jim Rickards, and I certainly like to compliment him because, in my view, he certainly deserves it. He is a very good thinker, and I'd say one of the best deep thinkers and grounded as far as the real situation in the global economy of most people that I take the time to read. I've read all of his books and most of his articles. Anyway, from the Daily Reckoning, Trump says no to world money. This is an article by Jim. Over the course of 13 years as media commentators and 9 years as best-selling author, I had frequent occasion to state the following. In 1998, Wall Street came together to bail out a hedge fund, and he worked there as their lawyer, or one of their lawyers. 2008, Federal Reserve stepped up to bail out Wall Street. Each crisis was worse than the one before, something that I've indicated and advocated in my private newsletter a couple months ago when I said how bad this new depression would be. But he says that's more than just rhetoric. It was a clinical depression of a pattern of worsening crisis on approximately a 10-year tempo. Now, the worst economic crisis in U.S. history is here, and the Fed itself is in need of a bailout. And I think that's the most important thing you can grasp. He said it on many interviews, and here it is in writing, and you can contemplate that. But he asks, of course, what's the source of the bailout? And we now know the part of the answer. A few weeks ago, Congress passed this $2.2 trillion bailout called the CARES Act. And this is a law that provided $349 billion in small business loans, which are forgivable if the employer does not lay off employees. I have a lot of business owners that subscribe to the private or paid version of the Morgan Report. And it's very interesting. I've got input from more than one, so I'm not sourcing just one hearsay evidence. A lot of them are telling me that most of this money is going to businesses that really don't need it. And some of the businesses that do, it's more cumbersome to obtain the funds. That's anecdotal. I'm not going to make a big fact out of it because I can't state it as a fact, but I can say that it's been pointed out to me. So I just wanted to make that point out to you. Jumping ahead, he's talking about how, you know, the world's turning to the IMF, and that means printing, you know, world money. He's still talking about SDRs, which he's written about in his book and talked about on interviews. SDRs were used in a small way in 2008. I'm not as much in agreement with Jim here as I was, let's say, a year or more ago. I'm not saying he's wrong by any stretch, but I'm not so sure that the SDR is going to, he's not sure it's going to work. And I don't want to put words in his mouth if I understand him properly, but I'm not sure they're even going to raise the issue. It's possible. You read the rest of the article. Anything that Jim has to say or write, I think is worth your time. I'll leave it at that and I'll move on to the next one. I could and maybe should go on and on and on about what happened in the oil market, but I'll just go with this one from Reuters. I'm still digesting basically what the ultimate outcome will be, because oil touches everything, or I should better say energy touches everything. And we are in a situation now that we don't have an equivalent in the Great Depression, at least not to my mind or thinking. I've read quite a bit about monetary history. From Reuters, bankruptcy looms over the United States energy industry, from oil fields to pipelines. Of course, shale is just toast. U.S. shale producers, refiners, and pipeline companies are scrambling for cash to face likely restructuring as they struggle under heavy debt loads while engulfed in the worst crisis the oil industry has ever faced. And I use the word ever. It's not printed there. Fuel demand has tumbled roughly 30% worldwide as CV controls a lot of the economy. Just as demand plummeted, Saudi Arabia and Russia were having an oil price war. Enter the CV situation, and oil prices have crashed 75% this year. And on Monday this year, it attained minus $38 per barrel. And you can probably read on why that is. Basically, running out of places to store it. So they actually had to pay people to take it off their hands is what that means from a negative price. How much of that actually took place, I am not in a position to know. Companies that use debt to fund acquisitions before prices crashed, such as oil giant Occidental Petroleum, are facing or placating shareholders and preserving cash. The pipelines, which are usually a safer place to be in the oil sector, privately held pipeline operators are considered the most vulnerable among the midstream companies, bankers said. As shale producers hit bankruptcy, they're expected to try to use court proceedings to exit pipeline contracts, which charge transport fees based on oil and gas prices well above current levels. So it's going to affect them, and this is a counterparty risk situation. The pipelines are there, usually very little debt. They're basically a transportation business. As I said earlier, usually considered to be very safe. But if your counterparty is having a problem producing oil because the price is too low and they can't produce, they are in default. And if they're in default, that counterparty is not performing and they're breaching the contract. So they're going to say, well, I can't do it. I'm going to go to the courts, let them figure it out. So it touches the industry that would, maybe in a situation that it should be compensated or whatever, but instead of, you know, making good on it at this point in time, it is rather complicated, and I'm trying to be simple here, but it's going to be sorted out in the court. So it's affecting a lot of things that you might not on first glance expect it to have affected. And maybe I'm trying to make it too simple, but it's very, very important that everyone knows that energy is the most important commodity worldwide. And with this situation, it is, as I said earlier, not only going to touch everything and affect everything, but I think it's going to be the precursor to probably the greatest depression measured in amount of free capital available to the average person on the planet. And with the food contraction situation, it could get rather scary at times. I don't want to be Mr. Gloom. I don't want to be Mr. Doom. I want to be Mr. Real, and I strive to keep firmly planted on the ground, but the facts are what they are. We've got a crisis on our hands in the energy sector. And I'll start with this. I like to cite what I say because it's important. It's just not me. I add color by giving you my commentary on it. But resilience, high insight and inspiration for in turbulent times. If you're already overwhelmed with the news and of the pandemic and the coping of the depression, read no further. However, if you're a crisis responder by inclination or profession, you might start thinking food. Okay, experts who study what makes society sustainable or unsustainable have been warning for decades that our modern food system is packed with ticking bombs. The way we grow, process, package, and distribute food depends overwhelmingly on finite, depleting, and polluting fossil fuels. Industrial agriculture contributes to climate change and results in soil erosion and salinization. If you don't know that word, it just means that the soil is getting saltier and saltier, which is not good for growing. Ammonia-based fertilizers create dead zones near river deltas where petrochemical pesticides and herbicides pollute air and water. Modern agriculture also contributes to deforestation and biodiversity loss. Monocrops, which is just planting one huge crop field or acre after acre after acre after acre, of genetically uniform corn and soybeans are especially vulnerable to pests and diseases. Long supply chains make localities increasingly dependent on distant suppliers. The system tends to exploit low-wage workers, and food is often unequally distributed to even unhealthful, contributing to the poor. It's often unequally distributed, even unhealthful, contributing to poor nutrition, as well as diabetes and other diseases. Definitely read the rest of the article. I want to sign off with, I don't have much positive to say other than that people are, can adapt, people can change. When things get tough, usually we, generally speaking, as a human species, tend to get more centered, more real, evaluate the situation, take in the situation as we find it and realize it to be rather than how we want it to be, and we respond accordingly. The worst thing you can do, in my view, is to react. A lot of us, and yours truly included, I think, have reacted initially, but now it's time to respond, to look at what we do have, not what we don't have, look at what is truly valuable in our lives and what may have been superfluous, and suck it up and move on into this new reality that we all find ourselves in. And I will comment that, as always, that the truth is the most important thing that we have. And speaking truth to others, speaking truth to power, and maintaining your own integrity. Just because Big Brother tells you to do something doesn't necessarily mean you have to. And you don't necessarily have to be disruptive in any kind of way that could get you in trouble. Simply saying no sometimes is sufficient. And I know that sounds really Nancy Reagan-ish, if you in my generation know what I'm talking about. But there are ways for civil disobedience to be conducted without harming anyone. And being able to vent your frustration against the authoritarian hand is still, in my view, a God-given natural right. It can only be pushed so far before some kind of realization takes place. And I want to go on just a little further. And this is the price they paid. It talks about what happened with the founding fathers. And they signed and kept for secret 6 months, risking everything. And for the support of the Declaration, they had a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledged to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. 56 men survived. 9 died in war. 5 were captured and tortured. 18 were captured and had their homes burned. And several died as paupers. So the price that was paid for what was enunciated so eloquently in the direction, in the Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, paid a price. And that's the price they paid. You might look it up on Google. You've got the general idea. Freedom isn't free. I'll be back next week.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.